Thanks for being here today. I like to start with something funny, and I heard about this Baptist man named Bill. He liked to sneak off during the week to the horse races and bet. One day he saw a Catholic priest step onto the track and bless a horse. Sure enough, the horse won first place. He blessed another horse, and that horse won again. Bill went to the ATM, took out all of his money. This time he saw the priest not only touch the horse's forehead, but touch his eyes, his ears, and all of his legs. Feeling confident, he bet all of his money, but in the middle of the race, the horse fell over dead. Bill went to the priest and said, "What in the world happened?" The priest said, "That's the problem with you Protestants. You don't know the difference between a blessing and the last rites." Say it like you mean it. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I will be taught the word of God. I boldly confess, my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, I will never be the same. I am about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the word of God. I'll never be the same, never, 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 I'll never be the same in Jesus' name. God bless you. I want to talk to you today about winning the war within. There's a battle taking place on the inside of each one of us. It's a battle between the flesh and the spirit. The flesh represents our carnal nature. It's things like jealousy, pride, compromise. It's the easy way to live. You don't have to be disciplined. You just do whatever you feel. Someone's rude to you, you're rude back to them. If you don't feel like having a good attitude, go through the day sour. When you see that coconut cream pie, you don't think twice. You eat your fourth piece. The flesh wants to rule. It wants to have control. The scripture says, those who live by the dictates of the flesh. Notice the flesh is described as a dictator. What does a dictator do? They make all the decisions for you. They tell you what to do, when to do it. You just follow orders. You get stuck in traffic, your flesh will tell you, get upset. This is ruining your day. Many people follow the dictates of the flesh. Like a good soldier, yes sir, right away. They get upset, sours their day. At work, someone leaves you out, doesn't invite you to the meeting. The flesh says, get offended. This is not right. They get offended, chip on their shoulder. The problem is, if you keep giving into the flesh, that verse goes on to say, you will die. That doesn't mean physically, but your dreams will die. Your relationships won't flourish. Your gifts won't come out like they should. What's the problem? You're letting the flesh win the war. Anytime you're tempted to compromise, be lazy, give in to temptation, there's another option. That is to walk in the spirit. That means you do the right thing when it's hard. You bite your tongue when someone's rude. You stay faithful in your relationships when someone is trying to lure you away. And what's limiting some people is not that they're not talented, not that they don't have God's favor. It's that they keep sowing to the flesh. Don't keep giving in to the same things that you know are holding you back. Next time you're tempted to be jealous, find fault, say something critical, tell your flesh, no. I'm not going there. I'm going to be happy for them. I'm going to see the best in people. When you feel like staying up all night, playing on the computer, tell your flesh, not tonight. I'm going to bed. I'm going to take care of myself. Next time those friends call that are pulling you down, causing you to compromise, tell them, sorry, something has come up. I can't hang out tonight. Quit letting the flesh be the dictator. You have to take charge of your life. The flesh is not leading you anywhere productive. Paul said in Galatians 5, these two forces are constantly fighting each other. Your choices are never free from this conflict. I don't want to depress you, but this is a battle that will never go away. You can be a believer for 50 years. You've grown, you've matured, but you will still have to deal with the flesh. You don't overcome it one time and it's defeated. It will come back again. This is something we have to get skilled at. No, I'm not going to let my flesh say everything that it wants. I'm not going to take the bait and get offended by that person that did me wrong. Not going to let my guard down and be dishonest in this business deal. Are you winning the war within? Are you living by the Spirit, making decisions that honor God? Or are you letting the flesh win, doing whatever you feel? You need to take the flesh off the throne. Quit letting it determine your decisions. We've seen in foreign countries where there's a dictator, this person in charge is oppressing the people, pushing them down. There's no democracy. They can't vote him out. So they have to take drastic measures. The people rise up and overthrow the dictator. They have to forcefully remove him. That's the only way he'll be free. It's the same way with the flesh. It wants to stay in control of your life, telling you what to do, where to go. The only way it's going to come off the throne is if you forcefully remove it. It's not going to go easily. If someone does you wrong and you choose to forgive, the flesh will say, come on, get even, pay them back. This is not right. You have to put your foot down and say, sorry, you don't control me anymore. I've taken you off the throne. You've lost your authority. I walk by the Spirit and not the flesh. It's time to dethrone the flesh. Quit letting it dictate how you live, how you respond, how you handle adversity. Start sowing to the Spirit. Start taking the high road, doing the right thing when it's hard. That's when you grow. That's when God can trust you with more. It's very shallow to live by how you feel, giving into carnal desires. That's going to keep you from the greatness God put in you. The scripture says, no discipline at the time seems pleasant, but later on, you will reap a harvest of good things. And being disciplined is not easy. Walking away when someone is rude, not giving into the temptation, getting up early to excel at work, that's difficult. Your flesh wants to be comfortable. Your flesh wants the easy way out, but you can't be comfortable all the time and reach your destiny. If you'll do the hard thing now, later on, you'll see blessings and favor that you've never seen. But the flesh always wants instant gratification. If I tell this person off, it'll make me feel good right now. If I buy this item that I can't afford, if I sleep in and skip work, I'll feel good right now. But it's important to think about later on. We should be growing. We should be further now than we were 5 years ago. If I'm still dealing with my temper the same way as years ago, then I'm leaving the flesh on the throne. If I'm still getting offended, upset, jealous, the same way as years back, then I'm letting the flesh dictate my life. I'm not saying we have to be perfect, but we should be improving. When Victoria and I were first married and we were about to go somewhere, I would ask her if she was ready. She said, yes, I'm ready. So I'd go get in the car and I'd wait and I'd wait and I'd wait. She would never come. I would get so stressed out. I'd go back in. I thought you said you were ready. She said, I am ready. I said, well, would you mind like coming to the car? I didn't like to wait. I used to pray, God, you have to change her. Help her to go faster. But what's funny is God never changed her, but he used her to change me. God doesn't remove everything that's uncomfortable. If he did, we would never grow. Instead of praying, God, change the other person, I've learned to pray, God, change me. Help me to come up higher. Help me to be more patient. Help me to stay in peace. Even now, when I get stuck in traffic or there's a long line at the airport, that impatience still tries to get back on the throne, still tries to dictate my life. You don't win the war within one time and you're done. These forces are constantly opposing each other. That's why the Apostle Paul said, I die daily. Now, Paul wrote half of the books in the New Testament. He's one of the heroes of faith. You would think he's so powerful, so mature, he wouldn't have to deal with these issues. Yet he said, every day I take my flesh off the throne. Every day I have to put down my carnal desires. You never come to a point where you're so mature you can go on autopilot. I'm just going to coast. There's always room to grow. After a couple of years of being impatient, letting things frustrate me, I learned a new tactic. When Victoria says she's ready, it's like the 2-minute warning in football. The clock says 2 minutes, but you know it's going to be 20 minutes with the timeouts, the replays, the commercials. Now when she says she's ready, I go sit down, make a sandwich, work out, go to the grocery store. I'm not looking at her either, but many of the things that frustrate us are really opportunities to grow. Take the flesh off the throne. Don't respond the same way you've been responding the last 20 years. Being impatient, frustrated, arguing with your spouse. Start dying daily. Like with Paul, we all have these areas we're letting the flesh dictate. If we'd start walking by the Spirit, being willing to be uncomfortable, keeping our mouth closed, waiting with a good attitude, that's when you're growing. That's when God can trust you with more influence, more favor, more resources. I know there's a lot of battles on the outside, but my question is, are you winning the war within? Are you walking by the Spirit and not letting the flesh determine your decisions? See, when you gave your life to Christ, when you got born again, the scripture says you became a new creation. The old has passed away. I would love to tell you that means you'll never have any more carnal desires. You never want to be jealous, rude, complain. No, the old man may have died, but I've learned a secret. Sometimes he'll resurrect. Like Lazarus wasn't the only one that came back to life. Your old nature will rise from the dead. Ephesians 4 says, put off the old man and put on the new man. Even though you're a new creation, you have to put off the old. Every day, the old man is trying to get back up and run your life. We see this with Peter. He was a faithful disciple, loyal, committed. Jesus said, "You are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." God had great confidence in Peter. When the soldiers came to arrest Jesus, Peter was so loyal, so determined to stand up for him, he pulled his sword out and cut off the soldier's ear. But a little later, when Jesus was taken to the high priest's house, Peter denied that he knew Jesus. Young girl said, "I know, you're one of his disciples." Peter got angry. He started cursing. Said, "I don't know the man." Like Peter, we all have these two people on the inside, the old man and the new man. That's why the scripture says, put off the old man, put off the pride, put off the bitterness, put off the compromise, and put on the new man. "Well, Joel, I'm trying to, but I can't control my temper. I can't break this addiction. I can't keep my eyes on the right things." Well, quit telling yourself that. Your old man is not that strong. The reason he's controlling you is you keep feeding him. Whatever you feed is going to grow. Every time you give in to the temptation, you're feeding it. It's getting stronger. Every time you get offended, you're impatient, you say things you shouldn't, you're feeding the negative. Do yourself a favor, quit feeding the old man. If you'll start starving the bitterness, starving the jealousy, starving the compromise, it will get weaker and weaker. And that desire may not totally go away. God may not totally remove it. This is when discipline steps in. This is when his grace shows up. Don't use the excuse, "I've tried and nothing has changed." You have the power to overcome. Don't let that old man get back up. See, I still deal with being impatient. That old man has been trying to get back up for 30 years. I buried him, had a funeral, thought he was finished. You've heard of the walking dead. Sometimes he gets back up. Here's what I've learned. Anything you defeat quickly is not your real enemy. What you overcome in a short time, you don't have to be concerned about that. Your real enemy doesn't go away overnight. I'm not tempted to be dishonest, curse, do drugs. By the grace of God, those things are not a struggle for me. But being impatient is a different story. David defeated Goliath in a few minutes. That wasn't his real enemy. King Saul pestered David for years, threw spears at him in the palace, chased him through the desert. God could have delivered David from Saul in a moment, like he did Goliath. He could have taken care of him in an afternoon, no big deal. But some enemies God doesn't remove. Some temptations, some desires may not go away. If God doesn't remove it, that means the grace is there to stand strong and deal with it. God wouldn't have allowed it if it was going to keep you from your destiny. Ask Him to help you. Ask for His strength. When you admit your dependence on Him, you humble yourself and say, God, I can't do this on my own. I can't defeat this giant. It's not going away. God will step in and help you conquer what's holding you back. You have the power to keep the old man down. Don't let him keep you from your greatness. Don't let the flesh stay on the throne. The force in you is greater than any force that's trying to stop you. Start putting on the new man. Father, thank you that I am strong, I am disciplined, I am anointed, I am favored, that I make decisions that honor you. 1 Samuel 25, David and his men had been protecting the property of a man named Nabal. Nabal was a wealthy man that owned a lot of sheep. It was the time of year that they were shearing the sheep. They had all this wool, a great harvest. They were having a big celebration. So David sent a few men to Nabal and asked, since they had been watching over his property, if he would give them some food and water. It seemed like Nabal would be grateful, glad to do it, but it was just the opposite. He was very rude and disrespectful to David's men. Commentaries say that Nabal was a harsh man, stubborn, hot-tempered, that he spent most of his time drunk. He said to David's men, I don't owe you anything. I never asked you to protect me. What are you doing on my property? He sent them away empty-handed. When David heard how Nabal had insulted them, he was furious. He told his men to get their swords. They were going to go attack. Nabal's wife, a young lady named Abigail, was not only beautiful, but she was very wise. She loaded up animals with food and water and headed out toward David. They met on the road. Abigail bowed down low in humility. She said, David, my husband is a fool. I'm sorry for how he treated you. I brought you all these gifts for you and your men. She calmed David down, kept him from wiping out their town. David thanked her and turned around, went back home. 10 days later, Nabal had a stroke and died. David sent word and asked Abigail to become his wife. Now that the old man was dead, she could meet the new man. Nabal is symbolic of our old nature. Hot-tempered, rude, ungrateful, addictions. The name Nabal means fool. As long as the old man is alive, you'll never meet the new man. Now, I'm not talking about your husband. Somebody thought they got a word for the Lord today. I'm talking about the old man that lives in us. The bitterness, the bad attitude, the compromise. Start starving the old man. Your destiny is too great. Your assignment too important to let the same issues keep you from seeing the new man. It's interesting that Nabal died 10 days after Abigail did the right thing. There will be these times when you dig down deep and do the right thing when it's hard, that you will come in to your 10th day. Something will suddenly break. That addiction won't have the power over you. That bad attitude, that temper may not totally go away, but it doesn't control you anymore. I wonder how much higher we would go, how much more of God's favor we would see if we'd start putting off the old man, if we'd start saying no to things that we know are holding us back. And sometimes a little thing is keeping us from big blessings. Little pride, little compromise. Just this one friend I party with. Just this one temptation I give into. Just this one person that I won't forgive. No, it's time to get rid of Nabal. Nobody likes him. Nobody wants to be around him. Put the old man down and put on the new you. The free you. The blessed you. The happy you. The victorious you. In the scripture, Jacob was known for being dishonest, cheating people. His name means trickster, con man. He lived up to it. He tricked his brother out of his birthright, went around deceiving people. After living this way for years, he went down to the brook to be alone. I'm sure he was reflecting on his life. He had an encounter with God. He wrestled with an angel. It was there that God changed his name from Jacob to Israel. His new name means Prince with God. His old name meant Deceiver. He spent the rest of his life dealing with these two names. You would think the scripture would now refer to him only by his new name, Israel. After all, God changed his name. It was a significant moment. He had a new beginning. But the scripture goes back and forth between Jacob and Israel. One moment he's Jacob, in the same passage, the next moment he's Israel. God was showing us that the old man, the carnal desires, won't totally go away. The key to living in victory is to respond like Israel, not like Jacob. There's a Jacob in all of us. There are things that can hold us back. The good news is there's an Israel in all of us. There's a prince in you. There's a holy, righteous, favored, strong world changer in you. But let me warn you, even though Israel is in there, even though God has changed your name, Jacob will try to come out. Those carnal desires may be dead, but people will do things that will wake up the Jacob in you. You were driving to work, singing praises, enjoying the day. Israel was feeling good. Then someone cut you off in traffic. Out of nowhere, Jacob showed up. You quit praising. You started saying some other things. You think, where did you come from? Jacob smiles and says, I'm in here too. I may be dead, but I can be woken up. Jacob wants to complain. Israel wants to praise. Who's going to win that war? Jacob wants to hold a grudge. They hurt you. Don't speak to them. Israel wants to forgive. Let it go. Move forward in faith. Jacob wants to argue, be condescending, say hurtful things. Israel wants to be kind, overlook the offense, keep the peace in relationships. Jacob wants another Krispy Kreme donut. Chocolate icing, sprinkles on top. Israel says, no, 12 was enough. I'm asking you to be the Israel, not the Jacob. They're both in there. God changed your name, but he didn't get rid of Jacob. When Jacob was about to pass at the end of his life, Genesis 48 says, when Jacob was told that his son Joseph was there to see him, Israel gathered up his strength and sat up in bed. He started off as Jacob, tired, weary, thinking he was done. Then something kicked in. He thought, my son is here. The one I thought was dead, the one I waited for. I'm not going to die yet. Israel sat up. The prince in him came back to life. When you wake up in the morning, you get to choose, am I going to be Jacob today? Am I going to complain? I don't want to go to work. Traffic's bad. They close the intersection. These people get on my nerves. Or are you going to be Israel? Lord, thank you for another day that you've made. I'm grateful to be alive. Thank you for the gift of this day. When things don't go your way, you have delays, disappointments, people that do you wrong, are you going to be Jacob? Get upset, offended, try to pay them back? Or are you going to be Israel? Father, thank you that you're my vindicator. You're fighting my battles. I'm going to stay in peace knowing that you're in control. With your family, are you going to be Jacob? Critical, harsh, contentious? Or are you going to be Israel? Loving, kind, treating them with respect and honor. Both people are in us, the flesh and the spirit, the old man and the new man, Jacob and Israel. You'll go so much further in life if you'll start being Israel. Keep the flesh off the throne. Don't let that old man get back up. Keep him buried. I was at the drive-thru the other day, just minding my own business. Life was good. I'd waited about 10 minutes in the line. I pulled up to place my order on the microphone. The people were there in the building. I rolled down my window, and the man was so upset. He said, sir, there are other people waiting. If you don't place your order, you're going to have to get out of line. I just pulled up. I hadn't been there 2 seconds. Out of nowhere, Jacob showed up. I was so surprised. I said, how'd you get here so fast? He said, I live here too. He gave me some great ideas what to tell this jerk, this man. I said, Jacob, I thought you were dead. He said, I was, but I got back up for this one. I had to make the choice. Was I going to be Israel, the pastor, with a smile, or was I going to be Jacob and get even? I did what I'm asking you to do. I thought, I'm going to be Israel. I said very politely, no problem. Let me give you my order. And after I ordered, I thanked him. Said, God bless you. Hope you have a great day. Hope your children are fine. Tell your grandparents I said hello. When I pulled up, he had all his workers gathered around staring at me. He said, I thought that was you, Pastor Joel. I said, yes, this is me, Israel. I wanted to say, but Jacob's here too. He wants to say something. Every day you have to make the choice. Am I Jacob or am I Israel? Am I going to hold on to this offense or am I going to let it go? Am I going to hang out with these friends that caused me to compromise, or am I going to stay on the high road, be a person of excellence? Am I going to cut corners at work, or am I going to have integrity and give it my best? I'm asking you to be an Israel. Put off the old man. Don't let the flesh dictate your life. Let the Spirit rule. Honor God with your decisions. The choices you make don't just affect you, they affect your children and even generations to come. Jacob's brother, Esau, he sold his birthright for a bowl of stew. He was so hungry, he let his carnal desires dictate his decisions. He sold something incredibly valuable for a pot of stew. He was the firstborn son. We should talk about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Esau, not Jacob. But Esau let his flesh take the throne. Don't let that be you. You can win the war within. God is calling you up higher. Whatever you know is holding you back, this is the time to make a change. This is a moment of grace to do what you couldn't do before. Your decision can save your marriage, can take you to a new level in your career. It can break mediocrity and launch you into abundance. If you'll do this, I believe and declare, like Israel, you're going to become the prince you were created to be. You're going to break bad habits, resist temptation, and see the fullness of your destiny in Jesus' name. And if you receive it, can you say amen today? Amen. Let's pray together. If you have 5 minutes, stick with me. We'll just seal it in prayer. Lord, I thank you for what we've heard today. I know it falls on great ground. And Lord, I just thank you that you're helping all of us to make decisions that honor you. I thank you that we can clearly hear your voice. Not only we can hear it, but we will be quick to obey. Lord, that we would put down the flesh, that we're putting off the old man. Lord, even today in a new way, we're putting on the new man. I thank you the prince in us will come out. The holy, righteous, favored, anointed, powerful individual that you've created us to be. I thank you, Lord, for helping all of us to make great decisions, blessing our children this week. Thank you that your angels are watching over us, our finances, our families, our health in every area, Lord. We thank you for. With our heads bowed in prayer, if your heart stopped beating in the next few minutes, are you at peace with God? Do you know where you'd spend eternity if you died a little while from now? If not, I would love to pray with you. I'm not here to condemn anybody. I'm here to help you find a new beginning. I know this comes from a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. In just a moment, if you're not at peace with the Lord, or maybe you are a Christian, but you've grown cold toward God, you know you need to rededicate your life. You need a fresh new start. If that's you, in just a moment, I'm going to ask you to take a step of faith and stand right where you are, and we'll pray together. I can't think of a better time to get on the road to victory than right now. God is not mad at you. Your sins have already been forgiven. All you have to do is accept the free gift of Christ's salvation. Will you do it this morning? The enemy in your thoughts will tell you, do it next week. Do it another time. Listen, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Don't put it off. You're not hearing this by accident. Well, Joel, it's embarrassing to stand in front of all the people. I have, you know, friends at the house. I don't want to lift my hand. Listen to what the scripture says. If you won't be ashamed of me before people, then God says he won't be ashamed of you. Before Jesus said he won't be, God won't be ashamed of you before your Father in heaven. This is a great opportunity to show God that you're not ashamed of Him. I'm going to ask you, if you're not at peace with the Lord, or you just need to rededicate, you need to recommit your life, you need a fresh new start, a new beginning. If that's you, would you be bold, take that step of faith, and stand right where you are, and we're going to pray together. Would you do that? Come on, Lakewood, let's give them a hand as they stand all over the building. Come on, don't put it off. I feel like there ought to be a few more. Your heart's beating fast. Anybody else? Up top, watching, listening, flip your hand up. Anybody else? Take a step of faith. Well, God bless you. And please remain standing if you don't mind. Let me tell you, we're proud of you. I know that took courage to stand. More importantly, I know the angels are rejoicing in the heavens. God's never going to be ashamed of you because you took this step of faith. The scripture says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Let me help you to call. I'm going to ask you, if you don't mind, let's all pray this with our friends that are standing. Lord Jesus, I repent of my sins. Come into my heart. I make you my Lord and Savior. Amen. Remain standing. One more moment. I want to tell you how much we love you. We're going to be praying for you. I also want to give you a personal invitation and even a challenge to come back and be with us on a regular basis. We ask new believers, give us the next year of your life. Make a commitment that you're going to be here every time you can for the next year. Whether you're here in person, maybe you're watching online, but just like you go to work, it's a priority. I'll make a promise to you, before that year is over, your life will never be the same for the better. We're going to help you grow and become all God's created you to be. Hey, there's a great class right after service. It's called New Beginnings. You can take it in person right here. You can also take it online. There's also classes for our marriages after service, for the women in the building as well. A lot of things online you can take. Know this, the moment you stood up, God washed away all your sins, your mistakes, your failures. You are starting with a fresh, clean slate. Write it down in your Bible, May 1st, 2022, a new day of victory in your life. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let's all stand together if you would, please. Thanks so much for coming out today. How many of you are going home better off than you were before? Amen. Amen. Well, I want to speak a blessing. Until we meet again, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord show you His favor and have mercy on you. And may the Lord watch over you and give you His peace. God bless you. Have a great week, a favor-filled week. We'll see you back real soon.
Well, welcome back. What an incredible, powerful message by our pastor. I hope that you were inspired by that message. And wow, we also had Doe Jones with us, who will be joining us in just a little bit. Listen, if you made a decision today to say yes to Jesus, what a wonderful, wonderful decision that you made. We're so proud of you. And we're so we're inspired by your faith. And so we want to come alongside you, just as our pastor said, you know, give us a year of your life and you'll never be the same. And so when you make that decision to say yes to Jesus, let me tell you, it's the best decision you could ever make. And we have wonderful resources and classes that are available for you. You can text the word new to 77377 or take our New Beginnings class online. This is a class that is designed to help you grow in your faith journey. Doesn't matter if you've been walking with God for a little bit or you rededicated your life, but this is just a wonderful place to start. So New Beginnings, make sure to check out that class. You know, today we touched a little bit about mental health awareness, and if you caught our pre-show, and we talked about just kind of what's happening in our nation and what has happened in our nation. And so we wanted to bring someone from our team on board, Pastor Steve Austin, who he's over our crisis care ministries. What are the other areas that you're over, Pastor Steve? Tell us what you do.
I oversee crisis care ministry and some of the other care ministries here at the church.
Yeah. You know, I think right now more than ever, we're seeing so many different things that are happening in our world. And if anything, people are being more exposed to what mental health awareness is, or maybe even kind of red flags. Would you kind of walk us through what are some things that we should be looking for, or if anything, maybe even encourage us?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Encourage us, especially you're around so many different, I know you visit hospitals and you're at bedsides. And what are some things that you're seeing, and how can we, just as a body of believers, how can we be encouraged during this time?
Right. Yeah, you know, one of the things you asked, one of the things I'm seeing, and I'm seeing, you know, just a lot more mental health challenges in the day that we're living in. You know, there's just so much going on with COVID and everything else, and it's just, you know, added a lot of stress to people's lives. And what I want to encourage you with today is don't suffer alone. Don't suffer in silence. We love you at Lakewood. We want to help you. We have so many resources here at the church to help you. And this is the best church on the planet if you are battling a mental health issue, because we're totally non-judgmental here. And we're very open about it. And we have a crisis care ministry right over by the New Beginnings room. There are always crisis care people. That's kind of our hub. We have free counseling here at the church with professional counselors. We also have a depression group on Tuesday nights from 7 to 8. You can text CARE to 77377 and receive information about that depression group. But my encouragement to you is just get help, because Jesus Christ came to set you free. He doesn't want you to be bound by depression and anxiety and panic attacks and suicidal thoughts and things like that. He came to set you free so you can live your best life. And so I want to encourage you, make yourself, avail yourself of the resources we have here at the church.
Amen. So good. Just know that you are not alone.
Yes.
And there are people who want to come alongside you. But thank you so much, Pastor Steve.
Absolutely.
We love you. Thank you so much for all that you do.
Thank you. God
all
bless
right.
you.
God bless you too. Well, we are in for a treat. You got to hear this beautiful, anointed, just angelic voice. We've got Miss Doe Jones in the building. How are you?
How are you?
You were amazing today. Say hi to the people.
It's, hey, guys. How are you? I'm so glad to be with you today.
We're so happy that you're here with us, too.
Thanks for having me.
So dope. We know that, well, everyone knows, we think.
Okay, we think.
That you're actually a part of a musical family.
Yes.
So we hear.
Yeah.
And have won multiple Grammys and been a part of Forever Jones.
Okay, yes.
But tell us how kind of you've come to, now you're doing your own music, which it's beautiful, it's anointed, and it's touching the world.
Yes.
But tell us a little bit about some of the new projects that you have going on.
Okay, first I do have to set the record straight. I've only been nominated for 3 Grammys, and 2 of them were with my family.
That's amazing.
So I'm very thankful, but I wanted to leave it, girl, but I had to put on the new man and tell the truth. Yeah, so, you know, I sang with my family, and we had a really good run. And around 2018, I was a youth pastor, and I just could feel the transition happening in my heart. And so I had to take a step of faith, and I moved to Dallas and just went after. I had 3 college degrees, but I was like, I never want to ask for permission to leave town again, because I know what God's calling me to do. So I got my Uber license, because I was like, any job is a good job. And I got my Uber license, and I only had to drive 2 times out of 2 years in order to pay my rent, because God just did what he said he was going to do, and he opened up the floodgates for me, and it's been that kind of journey ever since, just God keeping his word.
That's so beautiful. I feel like you're such a voice even for this generation.
Amen.
And
thank
for
you.
Creatives
Amen.
Around
thank
the world.
So thank you.
Could you tell us a little bit about even what, when did you know that you were called to go into music or to write or to use your voice and your giftings to really bring healing to this world, however God wants to use you?
Yeah, you know, honestly, I was kind of wired for this. There are moments where I think, man, I'm actually doing exactly what I thought, what I saw myself doing as a kid. But there was a moment where I had to lay all of that down. And I think everybody has to have that moment in their life where they have to lay down the thing that they feel like they worked so hard for and say, God, even if you don't do it the way that I want you to do it, when I want you to do it, I'm still going to trust you and I'm staying right here. I'm staying rooted and grounded in you. And that was probably my season from 2014 all the way to 2015, 16. I mean, 18 really, because that's when I jumped off and went for it. But I needed that season because I felt like God needed to carve out space in me to even carry what he was calling me to carry and to do what he was calling me to do. So I always knew I was called to do it.
Yeah.
But there was that moment where I had to be like, you know what? If I sing on a soapbox for the rest of my life, for you, Lord, I will. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to be just fine. And I'm going to get, I'll get a 9-to-5 and I'll be okay because I want to be in your will.
I love that. Obedience.
Yeah. Obedience.
Walking in obedience.
Yes.
Well, tell us about some of the things that you have going on. You know, new songs, new projects. What's next for Joe Jones?
No. We just released an album in February.
Okay.
And we're really excited about that. So you guys got to go out and get that music because I really feel like these were spiritual therapeutic conversations that I had with the Holy Spirit and other people within the last 2.5 years that were very healing for me. And every time I get to minister these songs, I know they're bringing healing to someone else because songwriters help give people language to say the things that sometimes they're too afraid to say.
Yes.
And I heard one time a songwriter say, the truth don't scare me in a melody. It's a more palatable way to tell the truth and to get to where you need to be when you wrap it in music.
Don't you just love her? Gosh, we need to bring you around to our Hope and Life nights to speak into our youth and our young adults. But Doe, thank you again so much. We can't wait. I know we're going to have you again for our 11:30 or 11 o'clock. We're so excited.
Yes, I can't wait.
Give it up in the chat rooms, in the comment section. What's the name of your album?
My album is called Clarity.
Clarity
by Doe
Jones.
That's right, y'all. Bless you.
Show her some love. We love you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
What a treat. What a treat it is. I love that here at Lakewood, we have just so many people who walk in and who are a part of just ministering around the world. And so thank you for tuning in. Thank you for being a part of this family. Listen, again, if you made a decision to say yes to Jesus today, can we just say, amazing decision. We're so proud of you and we love you. And our pastor says it every single time that we pray for you every day. And we're just so glad that today you chose to just take a new step by faith. And so know that you are now part of a family that loves you and cares for you. And we want to see you become all that God has created you to be. So that's it for us today here. We hope to see you next week. We love you so much. Be encouraged. We love you guys. God bless you. See you next Sunday.